Epilogue. Time, location, unclear.
We have been falling for an eternity, falling into icy darkness, blood, and the shouts of despair following us into oblivion. Perhaps it has only been hours, perhaps years. I cannot tell. The storm cradles us, its frustrated fury raging at the hull of the Contrador. Some of the human crew have died. There has been violence. Some of the crew still hold loyalty to their Iron Warrior's masters. It is to be expected. Others seem to have died of hunger, their bodies withering away to nothing. Perhaps it has been years. Perhaps we will fall through the storm forever.
Captain Pollux?
It is Bassus. The navigator looks even more thin and pale than normal. Sweat beads his grey skin and red sores rim his true eyes. I look little better. The wounds are healing, but they still weep pus. Tubes attach me to a mass of machines and fluid-filled vials that follow me on suspensus. I wear a red robe, darkened in places by blooms of dried blood. They had to cut me from my armour.
Yes, navigator.
My voice is cracked and dry. A thick tube sucks yellow liquid from my chest as I breathe.
I have seen it.
His voice shakes as he speaks.
It is there, just visible, faint, but steady.
I think that I know what he means, but I will not hope. I flex the fingers of my left hand as I listen. Then I realize that my hand is gone, and that I am clasping a phantom memory.
What have you seen?
I say.
The light of terror, he says. The Astronomicon. The storms are still strong, but we can steer a course.
I hear the hope in his voice alongside the fatigue. He and his secondaries have been steering us through the storm currents for as long as we have been here within the warp. Hope, though, is a fragile skin over the truth of pain and sacrifice.
Do it. Take us home.
I stay awake until we complete the course. A command throne of dark metal dominates the Contrador's bridge. It remains empty. I stand as I did on the bridge of the Tribune. The crew move around me. Time passes, perhaps hours, perhaps months, perhaps years. My lost hand glows with ghost pain. The apothecaries tell me they can modify the doses of nerve suppressors to remove the pain until I heal. I told them not to. The pain is reassuring, a rock to cling to as we fall. At last the journey is over. Ralne stands with me as we prepare to see the lights of terror again. I nod slowly, and Ralne gives the order. Our stolen ship shivers as the curtain of the warp parts before it, and we slide out into the light of a bright sun. The screens suspended across the bridge flicker to life, showing us the world that has waited for our return. I frown. Beside me, Ralne makes a sound like a snarl. The planets turn under the light of their sun, half wrapped in darkness, half in stark light. Weapon platforms and void stations ring them in heavy chains. Ships move through the void. Some turn towards us even as we look at them. I feel shock and awe. The forces gathered here are the greatest I have ever seen. It is a star system made into a fortress, a seat of power and unbending might. It is a place I have seen before, long ago. Now, it has changed. It has become something more, something that I do not understand. I look away from the screen. This is not terror, I say. Somewhere within me, I see Helios fall again from my hand into the night,
and hear my scream, lost on the ice wind.
The Crimson Fist was written by John French and read by David Timms. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2012. All rights reserved.